Good morning. If David hadn't made the announcement, I was going to start with, good morning, I'm David Phillips. But you guys know that's not true already. So some of you read the bulletin last week, and it had me in for this morning and Mike in for this afternoon, and you still came back. So we appreciate that. And I had a couple of you tell me this morning, I saw it this morning, but I'll stay. And I'm like, well, I appreciate that. So the encouragement is much needed. So it's great to be here with all of you. Glad to see all of you here this morning. You know, we regularly hear that the leading cause of death for Americans is heart disease. 650,000 Americans a year die from heart disease, one every 36 seconds. There are seven cases or kinds of heart disease that affect at least 7% of Americans, coronary artery disease. So early warning, detection, they're the main factors in treating and dealing with heart disease. Now, all of this comes from WebMD and the CDC.gov and those things. But, you know, oftentimes we wonder and discuss curiously, what is the main problem in Christianity? For unfaithfulness, for drifting, for apathy, for lack of a better word. And I think that, too, is a heart condition. But a different kind of heart condition. The heart in the Bible is considered the seat of life or strength. Means mind, soul, spirit, our full, entire emotional nature and understanding. It is not the organ that pumps blood for our body to live. The spiritual heart pumps the spiritual blood to the spiritual man for survival. So today we're going to talk about keep thine heart, as we read about in Proverbs. And David mentioned the song that we'll sing after the sermon in Is Thy Heart Right with God? You know, as an instructor, they used to tell us that we needed to give a hook. We need to tell the folks why what we were teaching about is important to them. And I think it's important to us that we understand that we have to keep our heart at all times. How many of you have read the article on the back of the bulletin today? A great article that talks about perspective on how we're vexed when we see things. Like Brother Harold prayed about, Friday changed the whole dynamic in the United States. Protests, all kind of things have been going on since then. Some folks have taken the full extreme of they cannot understand why the Supreme Court did what they did. And yet folks like us, like Brother Harold prayed this morning, we're thankful that at least there's been some kind of decision made toward the saving of unborn lives. So we're going to talk about that today and keeping our heart, because it'll depend on how our heart is as to how those things affect us, just like the article on the back of the bulletin talks about. So today we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about why keep our heart, and then we'll finish up with how do we keep our heart. So we're going to talk about the why first. We read in Proverbs 4:23, we're to keep our heart because out of it springs the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7 states, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So we'll talk about that more in depth in just a minute. But what are the issues of life? Turn to Matthew chapter 15, 18 and 19. Now this list is not all exhaustive, but it does give quite a bit of the issues. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. The issues of life spring forth from our heart. They're sinful things that we bring on ourselves because we're not keeping our heart as we should. Everything that proceeds from our mouth and our walks of life, the Bible says, begins in our heart. So it depends on the source of our heart as to what those issues are that come from there. I don't know about you, but my mind, heart, can come up with some things that make me wonder, how in the world did I come up with those things? And I'm sure you guys are no different. Now, some of you may be thinking, I don't do those things that are in Matthew that we just read about. But it started with evil thoughts, and we all have those occasionally, but we may not do the specific things that are mentioned that we read, but we can do other things that are just as problematic or detrimental and show the issues of life that affect us. For example, forsaking the assembly. Great article last week in the back of last week's bulletin about that. Some folks have the mindset it's just a Sunday evening or a Wednesday night Bible class. And in today's world, it's online now. I can just stay home and watch it. No need to gather with the saints. Or we could forsake reading our Bibles regularly, daily, or at all. Forsake prayer and having an active prayer life until we are in need and think that we need a prayer life. Forsaking encouraging one another. We need encouragement. I don't know about you, but most humans I know, which would include you, need encouragement. Even the kind of backhanded encouragement we got this morning, well, I'm staying anyway. Well, I'm glad you did. I appreciate it. And I know you're kidding and you love me, and I appreciate that. Sometimes we forsake taking care of those in need or forsaking evangelism. Those are the issues of life that we allow things in our life to help us to get away from. These things are things that we have to do. It may start out as a little oversight, but it could become a major departure from the spiritual things that we need to do. Most people don't just stop doing things. It's a slow, gradual process. So we have to make sure that we guard our hearts against the issues of life that can and will derail us if we let them. Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Many of us put on a great show on the outside. We look polished and prim and proper and clean, but yet inside our heart is in turmoil or focused on evil. We can fool those around us, but we can't fool God. He knows our hearts inside and out. Brother Jenkins, when he was here earlier in the month, said something that I don't think I'd ever heard it, but it really made an impact on me, and it's something I wrote down and will keep. He said, "There are some with a head full of scripture and a heart full of sin," which means they know the scripture. They know what they should be doing, but yet their heart is full of sin. Did you guys catch that when he said that? That was in one of those where the light bulb went off for me. This goes back to what Matthew said. We have the appearance of a good heart, but our insides are rotten, or they need work. We can put on the show of the outside, but we need to work on the inside. Some of us, it's like a doctor telling us to watch what we eat so we can manage our heart disease. What most of us do when we go home, eat what we want. And then we go back to the doctor appointment, and what does he ask us? Did you change your diet? Yeah, I don't eat as much of that as I used to, but I still eat it. We have to change those things when the doctor tells us. We can't ignore it. Same thing with our heart. We can't ignore the inside and just keep the outside clean. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We must keep our heart from unbelief. As we've already mentioned, and I'll probably mention a couple more times, many people find themselves slowly departing from the truth and from God. Some make a sudden decision based on a situation that happens in their life, but most drift over time. How many of you have put two little toy boats in water? You set them side by side. 5 minutes later, what happens? They slowly drift apart. And that's kind of the way we are if we don't keep our heart. We can let an evil heart of unbelief creep in, and we can slowly drift away from God and doing the things that we need to do. A hard heart is hard to penetrate. You know, sometimes it's tough times. Sometimes it's a relationship issue with a fellow brother or sister in Christ that causes us to make that decision to go away. Let's not let someone that we know, that we love, that we share fellowship with, drift away. If we see them drifting, let's go after them. Throw them a lifeline. Be the one to help rescue them and bring them back. Because if we don't, it may be too late for them. 1 Corinthians 10:12. This is one we all know, and we talk about it, not regularly, but occasionally. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, we can very easily get in the mindset that we're good, we're keeping our heart as we should, and we may be. And I hope we all are. But the Bible tells us repeatedly to continuously self-evaluate and keep ourselves on track, right? Hebrews chapter 11, before the Lord's Supper, we should evaluate ourselves and make sure that we're taking it in the right way. But there's a key point that I want to pass on here. And that is, I'm not saying that we continue to fall in sin and therefore are struggling to maintain our salvation, like some people talk about. We oftentimes, I think wrongly so, think that we are sinners and trying to do anything right is a struggle, and we'll just never get anything right. We need to look at ourselves as Christians. We're saved, and we're doing our best to be pleasing to God. Do you see the mindset difference? If we go through life by saying, I'm just a sinner that struggles and I can't do anything right, or we go through life that says, I am saved, I'm a Christian, I'm striving my very best to walk in the light and do what God asks of me, which one do you think will be more successful? I think the one who has the attitude of, I'm saved and I'm doing my best for God. We can't let ourselves think that we're one mistake away or one step away from being lost to the point that we never enjoy salvation. So if we keep our heart and strive and we're cleansed as we walk in the light, we will be able to have that heart that we need and be able to be effective for others. 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We're going to focus on the part of this verse that says, he who is born of God keeps himself. It's an action on our part. And an example that I have here, and all of my military folks and police, they understand this. On active duty, we had to have a physical fitness test annually. You know, that was my responsibility to be ready for the PT test. Nobody else could take my test for me. I knew when it was coming. I knew to be ready. But if I passed and made a 90 or above, then I was good for a year. But that didn't exempt me from the following year. What did I have to do? I had to prepare again and keep myself ready for that physical fitness test. Now, unfortunately, most people in the Air Force, I don't know about the Army or the other places, but most folks in the Air Force start preparing about a month out. The other 11 months, they take off. And then they work real hard, they pass, and they're like, I'm good for a year. We can't do that because this says, he who is born of God keeps himself. We have to keep ourselves all the time. Keep our heart. It's a continual action because it gives an answer. It says, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. So if we take the opposite of that, he who does not keep himself, what happens? The wicked one touches him. So we have to work hard at keeping ourselves in the right way. Again, too many Christians think they're one mistake away from being lost, never really enjoy the blessings of salvation. Keeping our hearts pure will help us resist the devil and his devices and will allow us to enjoy the experience of salvation. We should be joyful people because we are saved, and we know that we're saved. Peter tells us that. So we've talked about why we must keep our heart. Now we're going to talk about how. You know, when you go to the doctor about your physical heart, they tell you to, they talk about diet, exercise, physical activity, lifestyle, maybe some medication. There's things that the doctor gives you to help you in that regard. So how do we keep it spiritually? How about a diet of scripture, diet of Bible study, exercising what we learn from the scripture, active in good works, keeping a healthy spiritual lifestyle. And we could use prayer and study as our medicine. So I think the same applies to us. Psalm 119:2 says, blessed are those who keep his testimony, who seek him with a whole heart. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So a diet of obedience. We keep God's word. We must know it, study it, meditate on it, pray about it, share it, study it, meditate, pray, share it. You see the repetition we have? To keep our heart and to seek him with a whole heart to keep his commandments, we must know what they are. And in order to know what they are, we have to spend time in his word and understand what he's asking us to do. Matthew 26:41, you're going to think, well, this, Tom, this kind of contradicts what you were talking about earlier to some degree. It says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are weak fleshly creatures as human beings. But that's not what we are in the spiritual realm. How many of us have the prayer life we want? I know I don't. I can improve in that area. And improving in that area will help me study God's word. It will make me stronger. It will bring me closer to God. All of those things play a part. Mike and I were talking before class. There's a lesson that we teach at the Senior Academy. It's called Situational Leadership, and it has four types of subordinates that a supervisor will encounter. One is unwilling and unable. That's a person who's brand new, has no experience, has no desire, has no drive, doesn't know what to do. So brand new person. Then you have one that's unwilling but able, which means he or she has the skills, they have the experience, but they're unwilling to take on what they need to. The third type is willing but unable, which means they have the skills, but they just don't want to. And then the fourth is able and willing, which means they have the skills, they have the experience, and they have the desire. So as a supervisor, you need to know how to deal with those kind of people. This tells us that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So in this case, we need to be able and willing. We need to understand that through God's word and watching and praying, we can be ready to keep our heart. It's an active thing. You know, sometimes we as Christians think that all I have to do is go to worship, read my Bible every day some, and life will be good. It's an active work. How many of us get good at anything without practice and putting it into application and doing it repetitively? Not many of us. So Christianity is something that we need to work on. Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That's an extremely powerful passage to me, to fully try to comprehend and understand the love that Christ has for us. This says the width, the length, the depth, the height, so we can be filled with the fullness of God. Now, our human minds will probably never fully comprehend what this is saying, but visually we can see that the Lord is telling us that if we let Christ dwell in our hearts through faith, we're rooted and grounded in love, we can be filled with the fullness of God. And being filled with the fullness of God will help us keep our hearts and will help us to stay pure and be able to do those things that we need to do. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, we read earlier Proverbs 23, 7 that says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So this tells us to think on truth, not false, truth, noble, those things that are high morals, high personal qualities, just, morally right and fair, pure. And I looked up the definition for pure. It said free of contamination, unadulterated, clean. Those are the things we need to be thinking about. Lovely. Again, moral and of good report, dignity, respect, good name, and the like. If we fill our heart with these things, we will then be as we think we are. This is what we want to be. This is what we want to think. How many of you have heard the term in the computer world, garbage in, garbage out, right? Computer gets out, spits out what you put in it. If it's garbage, it's what you get. Sometimes I think we think that we can allow bad things in our mind and in our hearts and it not affect us. That's not the case. This tells us to think on those good things, not those bad things, because if we do those bad things, it's going to have an effect on us and it's going to change the way we think, which will then in turn change the way we act. So it's all together. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and then verses 5 and 6. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. We've talked about prayer before. Prayer comes up a lot in these passages that we're reading because prayer is an extremely important thing for each of us. If you don't think so, if you go without it for a few days, you'll find yourself kind of wondering, what? Something's not right. I am off. And most times when that happens to me, I can go back and pinpoint that it was because of my prayer life was not what it was supposed to be. And occasionally when I find that, it's because my study life is not what it's supposed to be. Those kind of go together. If I'm lacking in one, it affects both. So we need to continue earnestly in prayer because that brings us closer to God. If we're praying and studying, it's going to be much harder for sin to enter our hearts, because the heart is going to be centered on other things, spiritual things, that will not allow those things in. And again, it talks about let our speech be graceful so we can answer those without. We need to be the example of those around us. And we talk about that some in the Wednesday night class. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So are we in this alone? No. Our brotherhood is with us. We need to be sober, serious-minded, vigilant. Watch our surroundings. How many of you, when you go in a restaurant, sit with your back to the door? I do not. It's a military thing. I will always be able to see the door. Why? Because I want to know what's coming in and going out. And I look at every table to see who's sitting in there and to see who's around. It's just one of those training things. I will never go anywhere without looking at all the surroundings first. It's just inbred in me now. That's just what I do. That's why I sit in the back there. I know where everybody sits and who's where. It's just part of my DNA now, if you will. But we do that on the physical side. But on the spiritual side, do we do that? Or are we passive when it comes to sin and the devil? And Brother Dan Wheeler used to use the term clickbait. We see something on the internet, oh, that looks interesting, I'll click on that, knowing that it's probably something that we should not be clicking on. We fall for that temptation. But if we had the situational awareness that we need, we would pass right on by that, not click on it, and move on. We can do it. This says that we have the same sufferings as experienced by the brotherhood, so that goes back to the encouragement. We need each other. We need help. You help me, I help you. We can get through this together. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now later, after the closing prayer, and Aubrey gives his awards to the children that have been coming to the Sunday afternoon class, this is part of it. They know the fruit of the Spirit. They've learned all of these things at their age. They've memorized that and a multitude of other things. But as Christians, do we look at this and say, do I have the love, the joy, the long-suffering, the kindness that I need? Am I good to others? Are we gentle and faithful? Are we the person in line at a restaurant or at a store when things don't go our way that we pitch a fit? As my parents used to say, that we show out in public, you know, you're the one that everybody's kind of turning their head around and like, yep, I don't need to be here. If that's us, that's a bad thing, because as Christians, we should not be that way. We need to make sure that we are showing the fruit of the Spirit, that everyone can see that we're trying our best to live as we should. Are we a work in progress? Yes, but that doesn't give us the right not to make any progress at all. And finally, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, Brother Jenkins spent a good time talking about this during our gospel meeting, and he did a great job of talking about the book of Ephesians. But I think it's appropriate that we end with this when we're talking about keeping our heart. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. I also miss having girded your waist with the truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet with the preparation of the gospel, and taking the shield of faith. We have to be strong in the Lord. You know, if you watch any type of TV at all, if you see the special forces and the SWAT teams and all of those, when they're going into battle or into an active shooter, do they go in dressed like I'm dressed right now? No. What do they go in with? Full armor. They're ready for battle. You know, we call it battle rattle in the military. You wear your plates and you wear all of your things, 60 or 70 pounds worth of extra stuff, because it can save your life. So in this respect, we're told to be strong in the Lord, put on the whole armor of God, take up the whole armor, stand. So when you're prepared and ready, and you've got your battle rattle on, don't just sit down. This says stand, which means be ready for the fight. Because if you're not, you will be overtaken. God gives us what we need to fight the battle. Do we wear it to keep our heart? So we've talked about keeping our hearts. We talked about why. Because out of it spring the issues of life. Because as we think, we are. And the spiritual heart pumps the spiritual blood to the man, spiritual man, for survival. And we talked about, how do we keep our heart? We keep God's commandments. We watch. We pray. We think on the fruit of the Spirit. We put on the whole armor of God to fight against the devil. One key point that I want to say before we go into our final closing here is, if you go back up and read that in Ephesians, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench some or few of the fiery darts of the wicked one. It doesn't say that, does it? What does it say? You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. If we take what God has given us, we will be able to successfully keep our heart. It's a work. It's something that we have to work at, something that we have to continually do, and it's something that we will never be exempt from. Keeping our heart, it requires action from us. And today, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, that takes an action on your part. You need to hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized, and we can help you with that today if you have not done that already. But have you obeyed the gospel and failed to keep your heart? Have you gone to battle without the shield of faith and allowed some of those fiery darts to affect you, to hit you, to wound you spiritually? If so, you can rearm yourself today, and through repentance and prayer, you can be forgiven. If there's any need that you have today, please come as we stand and sing.